We feel we got a really quality player here. I think everybody knows with regards to his person, but I think it's an example of us going to do our extensive research in terms of what his person is all about. But as a player, there's no doubt in my mind he's a very fine football player. With that, I'll take your questions.
John, do you see this as a risky pick?
No. And I say, once you meet the kid, once you see where he's from, we go through a research process in terms of trying to find out other players. If the truth be told, the kid came here. We met him at the combine. He sat with all the position coaches at the combine. I had a chance to have a sidebar with him at the combine. Then we brought him here to the building for a day. And then just this last week, Monday and Tuesday, I believe it was, we sent Chris Ballard out to Oakland. He had a chance to sit down with the kid, his parents. We did a very extensive research with regards to this person, and we talked to his coaches, his former coaches, and listen, you know what? The kid is competitive, and that's what, I mean, he's a very competitive kid. He's not a malicious kid whatsoever.
So you don't see this as being any more of a risky pick than Eric Fisher or D4?
I do not. Not after seeing the kids. And you guys have known me long enough that I think he wouldn't fit in the culture and the environment of this community or the organization. He wouldn't be here.
How do you suppose he's going to handle it when the emotions start boiling and he gets in the heat of competition and all that?
I think he'll be fine. I really do. I think he'll be fine. What we have is a unique locker. I think in this year three, the locker room that we have here, we have some strength within this locker room, especially on the defensive side of the ball. And that's what good teams do. They take those veteran leaders and they tell the young guys, okay, guys, here's where the bar is set. Come reach with us. And then you have a Hall of Famer, you have an All-Pro as your teachers, and then you have Bob Sutton. And then on top of that, you have a leader like Andy Reid, who is no nonsense, very matter of fact, no problem at all.
What happened? What's like your understanding of what happened to lead him to being dismissed from the team?
Well, I think when you get a chance to meet him, you all probably have talked to him. I think you have to speak with him very directly. You have to treat him like a man. I think that's how you do it, and tell him the truth. You know, he may have been caught up in a culture of the old regime that recruited him into a new regime, and you know sometimes it doesn't always mesh properly.
How would you describe him as a football player?
I think he has probably got the best ball skills of any defensive back in this draft. I think he's very physical and run support. I think he's got an incredible feel for the game of football. As one very famous defensive coordinator told me, he's the best defensive back in the last 4 years. He just sent me that text.
Where do you suppose he would have been drafted?
Top 10.
Who does he remind you of?
Marcus Peters.
That's what he said, too.
John, what do you think about his on-field temperament? You know, he plays aggressive, and you can see that. He's an aggressive guy.
He's a family guy. Now, he's a family. When you watch he around his family, it's a very loving thing. I mean, you know, he has a baby girl now, and just to watch him, you know, interact with his family, his siblings, his community, he's very proud. He's a proud person. And I think once you get him here and you get a chance to meet him, I think you're going to like him.
But, like, on the field, you know, he's got –
he's competitive.
Yeah, I mean, but how do you square that away between trying to keep crossing the line? And, there was a miss at the headbutt and stuff. I mean, how do you
– there was never an incident with the headbutt. That's rumor. We even talked to his former head coaches. That never happened.
Maybe it was on the field.
I apologize. Yeah, I apologize. Guys in football, he's competitive. He's out there playing the game. I'm not going to fault him for his competitive spirit.
Even is the way he plays the game, he isn't.
He's a defensive player.
He isn't the classic cornerback that we've seen you bring it in the last couple of years. He's not 6'2", he's not, but at just under 6 foot, is it the way he plays the game?
He does. He can be very physical in press. He can instinctively turn and run and mirror routes with receivers on run support. Nice, strong run support, shed the receiver's blocks, you know, and then he's a square tackler. I just like the way he plays the game of football.
Do you agree with that assessment from whoever texted you, that he could be the best corner in the last four drafts?
I believe he will come in and compete, and we'll be very, you know, we'll be very happy to have him after year 1 year. I mean, we're gonna be very happy to have him because he's gonna help and add depth and competition to what we're looking for.
Do you see him? The last two picks haven't made the immediate impact that a lot of people look for in first round picks. Do you see him as being a guy week one ready to play that type of player?
I think you have to wait and see. You know what? I think he's really talented, and I think he's very prideful and very competitive. And I think you have to let that process unfold. I think he's got all the physical traits to do that.
Best player available or best player available at a position in need?
He was best player available.
Sean Smith's situation with suspension last year's contract, was that a factor at all in the decision to go with Peters?
No, I mean, it just seemed to unfold that way. I mean, we had, you know, three guys right there, and it just unfolded the way it wound up. No, actually, we had a lot of questions answered here. I just wanted to make sure that we had never seen. You know, I think it's important to understand a person's surrounding, his environment, his family, what his makeup are, to meet his parents, to meet his. I think that's important, and we got a chance to do that, and I think it was well worth it.
Was that
with
Monday, Tuesday? You have a lot of players, or do you get narrow list where you?
You try to. Yeah, you try to. I mean, that's part of the process, especially in today's environment in football. You want to find out what makes this person drive and what makes him tick. And at the end of the day, when we walked away from this, I mean, we had no reservations.
Was that trip Monday, Tuesday of this week or the week before?
This week.
This week.
Yeah.
How many people do you think you guys talked to about him?
Ooh. 15, 20. And that's not out of the norm. I mean, we do that with everyone. And, you know, it all depends on who that person is, but we try to do great lengths on our research and finding out about a player.
So that's typical for what you did for, say, D Ford last year?
Yeah.
How much stock do you guys put into what a coaching staff says? So just on the television, I think it was Rappaport who said that current staff in Washington didn't rave about.
Mm-hmm.
Is that true, number one? And then number two, you know, how do you guys kind of weigh that in the decision-making process?
Well, I think it depends on the relationships that you have with different coaches around the country. It deals with relationships on staff. It's just communication is what it is. I mean, not only did we talk to the coaches, I mean, there were some players that we talked to as well. I had a chance to talk to them and see what their thoughts were on that.
Couple more guys.
The other day you mentioned there might be 10 to 12 impact players in this draft. Is Peters one of those guys that you mentioned?
Maybe.
Can you take that as a yes?
See, you always answer it that way. You always do that. Yes.
John, six wide receivers off the board in the first round. What are your general thoughts right now? What's left at the wide receiver position with 9 picks left?
Actually, we were just talking about that upstairs, and I was looking at the list of receivers. I'm going, there's some receivers still there.
You going to tell us who?
No. Maybe tomorrow night.
Did you attempt to trade up?
Actually, we had one call to move up, and we had three calls about going down. Actually, I find it fascinating. At 18, there were as we were on the clock, there were, you know, a lot of teams calling. I know what they were calling to get up for, so.
Who? Your guy?
I don't know.
We just said you do.
I know.
John, Shane Ray was still sitting there at 18. I mean, did you guys consider him at all? I mean, obviously it's not necessarily a position of need, but was he highly rated on your board?
He you know, we had a really good rating on him. He wasn't at that position where we had him, so to answer your question, if he, I don't think we would have taken him at 18 though.